Take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. I'm continuing a series we started several months ago on living in God's economy. Living in God's economy. We're talking about finances from a Christian viewpoint and how we can best order our finances in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and a way that's blessed of the Lord and a way that prospers the work of the Lord. And so we're looking at all these different areas. Tonight I'm going to be sharing a subject I'm looking forward to, and I'll announce the title of it here in just a little while. But let's look at Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." Now let me stop right there and say what God is speaking to Isaiah is about is this a comparison with the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews were people who were married to God and yet disobedient to Him. And so because of that, God is saying you're unfruitful because we're not finding obedience in you, though God is your God. And He's going to say those who are not married, He's talking about the Gentiles, God's saying, I didn't espouse a relationship with Him through covenant, through Old Testament prophecy, through a lineage, and yet they are going to have so many more children than what you have because of your disobedience and not believing my word. And aren't you glad the gospel came to us Gentiles? Amen. So you can see there's far more believers who are not Jewish than Jewish believers. And we were not espoused to Christ, but praise God, we were adopted into His family through faith in Jesus Christ. And so it goes on, and then it says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." So what God is saying, He's saying, don't have this small vision of what God wants to do with this nation. And Isaiah, of course, is a prophetic during when they were in captivity. So he is a pre-captivity prophet, and he's saying, now you're going in captivity, but when you come back, you need to inhabit the land. You need to fill out that space again. Now, keep in mind that the promise of the promised land was not the land that Israel possesses now. It was from the river Nile to Euphrates River to the Red Sea to the Mediterranean. Now, you look at all that space, and you find that that is a whole lot bigger than this little country we think of today as Israel. In fact, the city of New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles cubed, and that's the area it could set on. What God once told them was their land, that's where the city of New Jerusalem coming down on the heaven, and that's the area that it's going to be able to possess right there. So God is going to take that and claim it, but He was hoping that His children would. Let me say that God always has greater potential and expectation for all of us. All of our lives were meant for much more greatness than you and I realize. God wants to do a great work through the simplest life. And sometimes we are like Israel. We think, well, I'm not talented and I don't have special gifts and I don't have money and I don't have that and I don't have this. We think of our excuses instead of depending on our God and trusting Him to fulfill His will in our lives. So never limit God, but always see a bigger picture than what you can do, but try to see a picture of what God could do through you. And that's what He's saying to the nation of Israel. Now, with that in mind, I want to go to two other verses. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. I'm laying a scriptural base. That's the word I'm thinking of. And then I want to talk about some financial principles and principles of life that will be helpful to us. But they're all based on scriptural principles. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16, Proverbs 18, 16, the Bible tells us a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Now, God gives gifts to men. You recall in Ephesians chapter 4, He ascended on high, and He's talking about Christ. And when He ascended, the Bible says He gave gifts to men. And the Bible also tells us the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If you were here for graduation service, I use that verse to challenge some of our seniors, 10 of our seniors. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Once God called you to something, He hasn't changed His mind. And so here we're seeing a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. You say, well, I don't have a big gift. Here again, we have a big God that will use whatever gift He gives you. He gives you a gift to be used for others. And that's how a man's gift maketh room for him. Let's put that in a more modern vernacular and say that if you do the work, you're worth the pay. You say, well, I got a job. Well, that doesn't mean you're worth the pay if you do the work. So if you practice your gift, God will bless accordingly, and that gift will bring you in front of important people, and God will use that gift mightily. That's why many CEOs started very lowly in their company, but became very lofty in their company because they just ministered their gift. Whether it was sweeping a floor or whatever it is, they did it to the best of their ability. And every one of us, if we exercise the gifts that God has given us, what's going to happen? That gift's going to grow. It's like any muscle of our body. We exercise it. It gets stronger. It bulks up. And so let's realize that spiritually as well. And here's the last verse. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, we know that grace is a gift from God. Grace is unmerited favor. So how do you grow in unmerited favor? You don't earn it, but here's what you do. You receive it. You receive God's unmerited favor, and you grow in that. Now, let me explain that just a little bit, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get into our message. We know that grace is unmerited favor, and we know God forgives our sins, and God forgives our shortcomings and all of that. But the devil uses those same sins and those same shortcomings to hold God's people back. We would do great things for God, but we don't feel worthy. And by the way, the reason we don't feel worthy is because we're not. We're not. So to grow in grace means you have to realize, you have to get to the place where you say, look, I wouldn't call myself a great Christian, but I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm just going to serve God anyway. It's the only life I have, so I'm going to give it everything I have for Jesus. I'm going to look at my shortcomings. I'm going to look at my failures. I'm going to look at my own sin. And I'm not going to let it hold me back from serving God. I'm going to do whatever I can to serve the Lord. And I'm just going to pour everything I have in my life to serve the Lord. Now, don't ever buy into this that great servants of God are people who mastered their shortcomings and mastered their sins. And you think, well, they must be really great Christians. No, they're people who have learned to grow in grace. They've grown in grace. They've come to that place early on in their life. They just said, look, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm always going to be a failure. But I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm just going to serve God to the best of my ability. Now, that's how God's work gets done. Find a great man in the Word of God, a great man or a great woman that's been greatly used of God, and show me their perfection. For every one of them, you could show us their failure. But if you'll just get to the place where you'll say, in the midst of all of it, I'm just going to serve God. That's called growing in His unmerited favor. You're just receiving more of that grace to keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Some of you who are Sunday school teachers, you know, if you've ever stood and taught a class, that there's been some weeks where you thought, man, I don't deserve to get up in front of that group of people and teach the Word of God. This has been one of those weeks where just the devil's been beating all over me. My mind's been going crazy. I said some words to my wife in a little bit of anger. I shouldn't have done that. I apologized to her. But man, I just feel like I'm a failure. How could I stand up there and teach God's Word? Well, if you're waiting for perfect weeks before you get up and teach God's Word, we will have no teachers here. Amen? So you just have to accept God's grace and say, Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm saved by grace. I'm so glad I can enjoy Your mercy. And You strengthen me and help me. And I'll do my best to be faithful to teach Your Word as it should be. And God will use the person who grows in grace and apprehends the grace that God has for them. And so with that scriptural foundation, I want us to have a word of prayer and then speak to you about a subject that I believe would be very helpful to all of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we have to look into Your Word and see biblical principles. And Lord, I pray You'll bless as I share very practical things that I think can be applied to so many different areas of life. We love You, Lord. And we need Your Word and Your truth flowing through us to be the most we can be for the cause of Christ and the most we can be for Your honor and Your glory. And I pray this now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak on the subject of enlarge your flow, enlarge your flow. And I want to talk about that and try to illustrate it just a little bit. I brought some things here just to help here, some pipe and such. This is commonly called, it's PVC type pipe, plastic pipe, and most men know what this is for, and a lot of ladies might know as well, especially if you have a refrigerator that has an ice maker. Okay? So you have two cords coming out of your refrigerator. One is the plug, and it goes into the wall. But the other is this plastic piece just like this, and that comes out of your refrigerator, and it goes to your ice maker. And what it is connected to is a water source in the back of your refrigerator. Remember the days when you just found a copper pipe and you tapped into it, and you hope you did so successfully? Well, now homes build little outfits that it's just made exactly for this, and it makes it so much easier, and then it goes back up. Now, this is a very small, it's about a quarter inch, but it's a thicker thing because people know that whoever invented this knew that when people would pull out the refrigerator and they push it back in, they would inevitably run over it several times. And if you've ever pulled out your refrigerator and pulled it back and then it stopped, you had to pull it back and found out that, well, it was stopped. It wouldn't roll because this was in the way. So it's very thick. Inside is just a small little area. But that's all the area that it needs for water to flow through, because it's only filling up a small tray in your ice maker. Now, if you were to pull that off and cut that off, this would still have pretty good flow of water going through it. The average household has anywhere between 40 and 80 pounds of water pressure that comes to that home. 40 to 80 pounds. Mostly you'll have a regulator that will keep it somewhere around 50 or 60. I was reading that if you have a water tower, you live in a city where the water tower is on the mountain and you live down the valley, you can have as much as 200 pounds of water pressure. Now, by water pressure, we're meaning that much pounds per square inch. That's where they get that from, pounds per square inch. So if you put 40 pounds of water pressure on this and you cut that, I could spray everyone on the front row, the front pews, because that pressure would go out. And the way they measure that flow is gallons per minute, gallons per minute. And so if I let that run out for about 60 seconds, with this small thing, I might have a gallon. I might have a gallon. Now, if you had a PVC pipe, say schedule 40, and it was, say, half inch, a half inch pipe would have as much as 14 gallons per minute come out of it. So it's if you ever had a pipe in your house freeze and then thaw out and it breaks, imagine 14 gallons every minute coming out. You can see that you can do a lot of water damage in a little bit of time. If you had a 3/4 inch pipe, that will put out 23 gallons per minute. Years ago, up on the third floor near the, in one of the closets of the nursery where they had the washer and dryer, we had a pipe that went up in the wall, and this is our northern wall right here. And every once in a while, we have one of those real cold winters for several days where the wind blows. And what we found is this pipe was insulated right here. It was insulated right here. But right here where it connected in the elbow, there was no insulation around that. So guess what happened? That's where it froze. And what happens, as you know, that pipes, they don't always... you don't know that you have a burst pipe while it's frozen. It's when it starts thawing out, because that's when it spits out the ice and now the water flow comes. And that thing ran for hours before we located that, before someone came in down the hall and noticed their footsteps were making sloshing sounds. And they looked and it was covered with water. And, of course, underneath all the offices were dripping. All the flooring had fallen down. Computers got wet. Desks got wet. Piano got wet. All sorts of stuff got wet. By the way, God has always given us a flood and gave us a major remodel free. Isn't that amazing how God does that? I told our staff, I said, next time it can't be a flood. We've had three of them. It needs to be a fire. I said, insurance is getting suspicious here, but I hope they don't listen to sermons, you know. But and so a half-inch pipe, a 3/4 inch pipe can do a lot of damage, and that was a 3/4 inch pipe. A 1-inch pipe will put out 37 gallons per minute. A 3-inch pipe will put out 130 gallons per minute. Over in the educational building, one of our last water damage things is we have our fire system, fire suppression system, is called a dry system. So in other words, it just has air in the system, and then behind the air is water. So the air pressure has to be strong enough to keep the water from pushing through the pipe. But every once in a while, they like to test those. And when they test it, they will purposely let one of those go and collect the water, and then they'll turn the water on and they'll reset the system. But what happened is when they did that, they didn't get all the water out of the system. There was a low spot in the educational building. And that's a 2-inch pipe. And the water collected right at the elbow, and it blew it out, and 2-inch stream of water was shooting across the room out into the hallway. Now, when that went off, it set off a trigger. One of our men was in the parking lot at the time. And we were able to find where to turn that off and turn that off in 10 minutes. But do you realize how much water goes per minute on a 2-inch pipe? That's like 100 gallons per minute. So like 1,000 gallons of water. In fact, I think it's a 2.5-inch pipe. And that water was just like a fire hose, just spraying. Well, needless to say, a little leak in a pipe will do a lot. You need to enlarge your flow. This right here is a pipe that's used for actually sinks and drainage and stuff. It's not a Schedule 40. It's not meant for high pressure. Your drainage pipes don't have to be made for high pressure. There's not pressure in that. But this is 1.25-inch standard under the sink type of thing. If this was a pipe for water, it would be putting in probably about 42 gallons per minute. Here at the church, we have a source of water that comes into the street. And so we put in a water meter many years ago when we built our first building on this property, this building over here. Those water meters are very, very expensive. And so we were able to get one for about $6,000, and it had 1.5-inch pipe coming out of it. And they said, well, you really need a bigger one, but 1.5-inch would do it. And I said, well, how much is a bigger one? Well, we can get you a 2.5-inch, and we can get that for like $15,000. I said, we'll go with a 6. And so we got a smaller one. But when we built this, we needed more water pressure. So rather than go and buy a 2.5-inch for about $15,000, we bought another about $6,000, 1.5-inch. And so here at Grandview, we have 2 water pipes, or 2 water meters, I should say. So we have a water supply that comes straight off this building. Then we have a water supply that comes right from the corner of the parking lot over here. So we have 2 1.5-inch water meters that come. Now, to maximize that, we put in 2.5-inch PVC. So we put bigger PVC so it holds more volume, but it only has the pressure that 1.5-inch will allow. But what happens is it comes in, it goes to a U, and then it goes back to another meter, and we have one place where we can turn the water off if we have to fix something, so that this is on a meter and all the other buildings are on a meter. But by having a larger water meter, or a different water meter of the same kind, meant that we doubled the flow. So instead of getting a 2.5-inch pipe, we had 1.5-inch, technically a 3-inch water flow, larger than we needed. Until we build again, then we need a bigger one. No, we'll get another $6,000 meter and put them all together. And so what happens is we enlarged our flow. Now, when God gifts us, He gifts us according to His knowledge. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts, and the Bible tells us that God gives severally as He will. And that word severally is not a word that you and I use very much. It's found in Corinthians when he's talking about spiritual gifts. But the word severally means according to your individual ability. It is a Greek word that we get our word idiosyncrasies. It's the little twitches that some people have and others don't have, the little things that you do that nobody else does. Many years ago, we had a teenager in our youth group. His name was Bill. I still remember his last name. But Bill, when he'd walk, he'd always wind up on his tippy toes like this. And we could see him a quarter mile away and say, "There's Bill." Because nobody else that we knew of walked just like that. And it's the little things you do that allow people to recognize you without really even seeing your face. They'll see the way you go side to side. They'll see the way you scratch your hair. They'll see the way you're doing things. I was talking to a missionary's wife a few years ago. My wife, we had him over our house. And she was always going like this with her hair. And I'm thinking she did it 100 times. Now, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it was one of the missionaries we support. And I'm thinking, her hair hasn't moved. Why? You know, but it's the little habits that we get. Now, God determines whether you are a flow of this or this. All of us have spiritual gifts. All of us have abilities. All of us have knowledge that are God-given. And God may give you this much ability to do His work, and someone else this much ability to do His work. Everybody understand that? All of us do not have the same ability. That's why I've never been jealous of someone who builds a tremendous church and, you know, runs 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, you know, whatever it is. I believe it's just the pastor using the gifts that God has given him. But I felt like I had this gift. I think most Christians feel like this is what God gave them, this much gifts. But the key is if you'll use your gift to the best of your ability, God will enlarge your gift. And once you start doing this to the best of your ability, then He'll say, you know, I think I'll enlarge His gift and I think I'll double His resources. The more you will use your gifts and calling to the best of your ability, the more God will enlarge your gift. And so that's why it's important that we enlarge our flow. The average water main that goes to cities is about 8 inch. That means 1,600 gallons per minute come out of that water main. That's why if you have a water main break, you've got a problem. Even if you're standing right there and it breaks, you still have a problem because it's going to get water everywhere. A 24 inch would be a kind that might come from a reservoir to a city. And that would have 18,000 gallons per minute running through it. That's why they build those pipes out of very strong material, because they do not want to break. It could wash a mountain away in just a little while with 18,000 gallons per minute coming out of it. So let me talk about three different areas that I believe we as believers can enlarge our capacity or enlarge our flow. Let me say, first of all, and we're talking about living in God's economy, first of all, in your earning capacity. In your earning capacity. Now, there's two ways to get along financially. One is to earn more, and the second is to reduce your outflow. Reduce your outflow. And you can do that. You can turn off the lights. You can turn off the air. You can turn off the heat. You can cook very quick meals, or use the barbecue in the back, or burn your trash and you put a plate over it and cook at the same time. Save a lot of, you know, utilities. You can go crazy on that. And the problem with that is you usually will go crazy before you save enough to change your budget. It will drive you crazy. But, you know, no TV, no radio, no this, no that, no cell phone. You just have flashlights that go one up, down, up, short, click, you know, and hope your neighbors can read it, but they probably can't. So that's one way, is cut your outflow. Now, I think anybody can, within reason, find ways that maybe we are wasting money. And, you know, but usually it's not going to be much more than $100 a month, maybe $200 a month. And in the whole scheme of things, it's not going to make that big a difference in getting out of debt or saving money for a house or whatever. When I was a young boy, my parents gave my brother and I 10 cents a week allowance. 10 cents a week allowance. And my brother, who's older than I, but apparently not smarter, he would say, "Mike, let's save up and buy a pony." And I said, I must have known math better than him. I said, "Phil, if we save up all year, we got $5.20, 10 cents a week for 52 weeks. I mean, that's not going to make a difference." He said, "Well, we'd have 10.40 with you in mind." Do you know what a... He didn't know what a pony cost. Well, anyway, we couldn't have bought a pretty pony or my pony. We couldn't have bought a toy pony. But so if you're trying to get ahead by cutting your expenses, that's very noble and that's very good. But it's not the best way to get there, because it's a very slow method. You're not going to be able to cut it very much, cut the percentage of your outflow very much, in order to have an impact of great importance. So the other way to get ahead in prosperity or be blessed financially is increase your income. Increase your income. So you're trying to take the inflow and make this pipe bigger, versus trying to take the outflow and make that smaller. So you take your inflow and you try to increase that. Now, there's several ways you can do that. If you work at a factory or you work somewhere, you could take courses like at a community college, and you could earn a degree, and you could get... And so with each minor thing that you study, there's going to be companies that will take that in allowance and say, "You know, you did a good job. You spent a year and a half and you got that degree. We're going to give you a dollar raise." And you say, "Well, wonderful. Wow, I appreciate that." Well, that's $160 a month per hour if you do 40 hours a week. And you say, "$160. I still don't think that's going to help me buy the house. I don't know that that's going to help me buy my car. I don't know." And so... But that is one way you can do it, and you can gradually climb up the ladder. Now, I would not suggest you go to your boss and say, "Boss, I've learned that I need to increase my flow, so I'm here to ask you for a raise." He may give you unemployment, but maybe not the raise. So the thing is, you've got to try to enlarge that flow. How are you going to do it? Well, here's some practical ways. You put in more hours. If you put in overtime, you get paid for 40. You put in overtime, you get time and a half for that. After so many hours, you get double time for that. So you can go that route. The challenge with that is that you're working so many hours, you don't get to enjoy what you're working for. You're working for your family. You're working to provide for your family. You're working to be a blessing to your family. And it's not a blessing if you bring in a larger income, but you don't get to spend time with your family because you're working all the time. So after a while, that's sort of a dead end. And you find that you're fatigued all the time. You go to church, you still make it. You just sleep through every sermon and every teaching because you're working 50, 60 hours a week and you're tired. You sit down, you fall asleep. So the best way is get another income source. Income source. There's many books that you could read about that would talk about multiple income sources. So let's say that you have this, but you start a business on the side. Maybe in the summertime, say, you know, I got some hours, I got a day off, I got this, I'm going to take my lawnmower and I'm going to go do that. And you can start another business that provides a little more flow. You could paint houses. You can do a lot of things without a contractor's license. Or you could take the time, get a license, and then you could remodel a room or do something like that, and you could get income coming in. So it's looking for another income source. Now, most income sources you get that are apart from your salary come in small. Small. But that's how everything starts. When I started working, I got $1.60 an hour. Whoa, as a 16-year-old, $1.60 an hour. I thought I was wealthy. Man, I started pastoring. I got $100 a week. That was big money. Not enough, but it was big money for me. They were paying me far more than I was worthy of. I'll say that. But what happens is you start a side business. You start something. And what will happen is, over time, that can grow to meet the same price as your regular job. But then you'll want to do others. If you talk to very successful people who run companies, here's what you're going to find. They don't run one company. They run many companies. I was talking to a man in Texas, a friend of Rob Foreman's, and I got to meet him, and he made and erected metal buildings. And so that was his company. He made and erected metal buildings. And then he realized that every metal building needed a slab, so he went into the concrete business and had a small concrete business that provided the concrete. And then he realized every metal building needed concrete, and they needed rock to put mix with the concrete, so he got into the rock business. Then he realized that every metal building needed an architect stamp and an engineer. So he sent off his kids, one to be an architect, the other to be an engineer. So he did everything in-house. So I asked him, I said, well, how many companies do you have? He says, 21. He says, I put them on my trucking trailers, and I carry my steel where I need it. So one company made the concrete, one company drew the building, one company did the engineer, one company fabricated the metal, another company erected it, another company did the trucking of it. And since I already had a truck that carried my metal, when I wasn't using it, I carried other people's goods around. When I had a concrete business and I wasn't making concrete for one of my business, I made concrete for other businesses. When I had a steel business and I'm making pieces of steel, when I didn't need it, I contracted that out to other companies. And here's a guy who came over illegally, but he was worth multi-millions. And all because he understood the concept is you multiply your flow. You increase your flow. And there was a day when America thought that anything you did that's honest work to build your family and build your finances was good. Whether it was going door to door with Avon or Mary Kay or selling vacuum cleaners door to door, or whatever you did as a part-time job to try to add additional income stream was seen as a good thing. I think it's time for God's people to be able to add some income streams that you have. For instance, a lot of men will retire, but then they will be a consultant. And they'll get paid a lot more being retired as a consultant than they ever made when they actually worked for a living, got paid by other people. So in your earning capacity, you can work a few more hours. You can work a second or third job for income. You ought to have active income and passive income. Active income and passive income. Active income would be direct sales, marketing, jobs, services. That's mowing lawns. That's doing other things like that. Passive income. That's rental income. The real estate business, rental. You purchase a second home and you rent it out to someone and they pay the mortgage on that and you get a little bit left over. That's passive income, whatever you get left over. But you also get all the equity growth of that as well. So rental income, an MLM company, whether it's Avon or Amway or, oh, there's just a bunch of them. Where you sell a product, you share that with a friend, they sell a product, whether it's makeup, whether it's perfumey stuff in the house, whatever you can think of that provides, there's a word for it, I'm sorry. So whatever it is that you can gain some income by helping your family, helping someone else, providing a service or a product or anything like that, a side business, ideally, you want income that still comes in when you're not at work. For instance, if you had a yard mowing job, you make money as long as you mow yards. But ideally, what you want is you want to hire some other teenagers to mow yards with you. So that when you are home, you have young guys out mowing yards and you're still making money off what they're doing. You know, there's a reason a company would have 1,000 employees. It's not to have more people to take care of. It's that for every employee, they make money off every single one and their production. So the goal of every worker is not just to, I say people, I'm worth what they pay me. Well, that's why you'll never get paid much. You want to be worth more than you pay. They pay you because now you're a worker that helps the company succeed. Every worker should produce more than their salary, more than what they're getting paid, and they will eventually be rewarded because of that. So when you have people working with you, so if you start a business, the goal is to have more and more and more people work for you or with you, say it that way. First of all, it employs more people, gives them a job, gives them a way to put food on their table. Secondly, for every employee you have, you ought to be making money so much per hour for every single employee. And now if you have 10 of them, you make more. You have 20 of them, you make more. You have 100 of them, you make more. And so that's the way it should work. People working for you in a business. That's called passive income. Now, it doesn't sound very passive when you're organizing all of it and doing payroll and accounting and all those things. But the idea is somebody's actually doing the work and you're getting paid based on another person's production. And so you need to think along those lines and enlarge your flow. So even if you are multi-talented, look, you can only work so many hours a day, so many hours a week. So there's only so much you can get through this pipe. So the best thing is get another one that has another flow and eventually build that into another flow. And you want to find something that will give you the biggest return with the least amount of hours. Now, I know if you're thinking, they don't make that. Well, yeah, they do. People all over America are getting rich with a single idea. And maybe they're selling it on Amazon, or maybe they're doing all sorts of little things, and they're getting wealthy on those things. So enlarge your flow when it comes to your finances. Now, let me very quickly go to the other two. Enlarge your flow when it comes to service. When it comes to service. Every one of us ought to find an outlet in which we serve the Lord. This is what we do. We serve the Lord. but find another outlet where you do a little. Where you do a little. Say, well, I teach Sunday school, but I'm going to be an usher once a month. Well, I teach Sunday school, or I work in children's church, but I'm going to be a parking lot attendant. This is your ministry, but this is just what you do as you can. And what you'll find is what you do as you can is what God increases. All of a sudden you do that and say, you know, I really do enjoy that. In fact, I really enjoy both of them. You know, Brother Steve Frost, of course, left us and he pastors in Kentucky. Do you know Brother Steve Frost is also a bus captain? Do you know he drives the bus that he's the bus captain of? So every Sunday morning he gets in the bus with his son to help him as his bus worker. And they go around the neighborhood and pick up people on the bus. And he drives and they go back to the church and he gets people off the bus. And then he goes in and teaches and preaches. Then he gets back on the bus and puts everybody else back and drives them home. And then he goes home after he's parked the bus. You know what he's done? He had this flow, but he added this to it. And this allows him to reach the people that were already there and minister to them. But this allows him to reach people who aren't already there. And he's bringing brand new people to his church because he started another area of service. So don't just say, oh, I already have my service. The Bible says we're to grow in grace. So we're to enlarge whatever it is, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. So if God gives you a ministry, try to grow. And when you've grown that ministry to the best you can, then find another ministry and just start little on it and see it grow. Find an outlet for service, enlarge your effectiveness, enlarge the number of people you minister. You might have a class that runs 20, try to get it to 30. You might have a bus that runs 10, try to get it to 20. You try to get it to 15, try to get it to 25. You want your influence for the cause of Christ to grow. And the only way influence grows is through people. Through people. Pouring your life into people is what ministry is all about. Multiplying gifts are like multiplying pipes. It increases your flow. So give yourself to ministry. Think of more ways to reach more people. Here's what I was taught in ministry years ago. Put as many hooks in the water as you can. And you're more likely to catch a fish. So put as many hooks in the water as you can. And you're probably going to catch a fish. If you're fishing with just one pole, good luck. You may catch a fish every once in a while. You get enough hooks in the water that are baited, and you're going to catch far more fish than someone who just has one pole. So multiply your effort. And then when it comes to giving, let me say enlarge your flow. Well, Pastor, I'm already giving this much. Okay, then add that much to it. Why would I have you, if you're already giving to the best of your capacity right now, why would I encourage you to give more? Well, because in God's economy, things turn upside down. In our economy, the more you work, the more you earn. In God's economy, the more you give, the more He blesses. Now, you won't see that in the earth. But that's God's economy. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. So you give this, you try. I'm not saying, you know, I'm giving this, I'm gonna start giving that. No. You'd bankrupt your family. Give a little. And see what God chooses to do with your gift. See how God gives you that idea for another business, another source of income. See how God gives you that raise. See how God directs your finances. Now, let me say, God is concerned with all of us enlarging our giving capacity, but ultimately, What God is most concerned about is His work. So He's not trying to get a lot out of any one Christian and then he's reached his goal. His goal is he's trying to put more missionaries on the field. He's trying to help more churches get planted. He's trying to get more buses bought. He's trying to do more for his kingdom on earth. So there's a reason that God wants to enlarge your giving capacity, and it's not just to bless you, though very clearly in Scripture, God blesses those who give. But the whole purpose of it is not just the blessings He gives you, it's that more missionaries are sent, more gifts are given to His work, and His work is funded. So give a larger percentage, maybe 1% more, or 0.5% more, if you're really into numbers like that. I give, you know, people say, I give so much. Well, they're good. Okay, give 0.5% more. A small increase in percentage makes a huge difference. A huge difference. Okay, let's say, if you're giving 10% of your income, and you say, I'm going to give 2% more. I'll give 2% because it's better on the math. You have just given 20% more in your giving. You say, no, I just gave 2%. Well, you gave 10%, but you just added, by giving 2% on that 10%, you've added 20% more of the 10%. That 2% is 20% of the 2%. You see, if every member said, I'm going to give 2% more, that's like the whole ministry getting 20% more. Do you think pastor and the staff would look at that and say, oh, that's too much giving? No, we'd say, praise God, looky there. We can pay the bills. We can do this. We can do that. We can see more happen. Now, that's just an illustration. I don't think anyone ought to do more but what you pray about it and let the Spirit of God direct you. All you're giving, the Bible says we should give according as the Lord has prospered us. But according to what you think God wants you to do. But what I'm saying is a little 1% or 0.5%, that's 10% more, or that's 5% more. 5% more of our budget is a big deal. And that's just 0.5% more for us, which normally isn't a very big deal. Your increase in a large flow means that God increases and enlarges His flow to you. And here's what I'll end with. The verse I was trying to quote and messed it up terribly. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So when it comes to your income, when it comes to your service, and when it comes to your giving, the whole idea is to enlarge your flow. All of us, either one talent, two talent, or multi-talent person. But whatever God has given us, let's grow in grace. But you don't grow like this. You usually grow like this. And you let God enlarge your effort. God enlarge your effort. God wants His people prosperous, not so He can say, look how prosperous they are. But this is a big world that needs to hear the gospel. And we need to be prospering for the cause of Christ so that we can be givers for the cause of Christ and see more missionaries and more church started and more things done. If you're like me, you're probably thinking that time is short. We don't have much time before Jesus. And what we need to do quickly. That was Jesus' advice to Judas. What thou doest, do quickly. I hope we're not Judases, but we ought to do what we are going to do for Christ quickly. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I hope it's been helpful to you in your life. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take the truth of this biblical truth, dear Father, and application in all the different areas of our life. Holy Spirit, I trust you've done a far better job than I could ever do. And I trust that you've spoken to hearts about different areas where they could increase their flow, maybe in their earning capacity, maybe where they work, maybe in some special opportunity you'll give them. And Lord, I pray you'll bless us in our service and our giving. Let us desire to do more and more till Jesus comes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.